So our New Testament reading this morning is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 to 24. But you've come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
That lovely reading, I think, reminds us of the fact that, yes, we're gathered here on earth, the living, to remember today. But as that wonderful scripture reminds us, we are not alone in our gathering. Those who have left this earth, yet there is a gathering in Christ, a gathering in glory, the spirits of the righteous now made perfect with him. For some, perhaps this past year has been a year of bereavement. For others, today, as each year, is a year for looking further back to those who've been lost. But Christ is our hope, isn't it? Isn't he? And that scripture, I think, reminds us that whenever we gather here on earth, what we need to, in our mind's eye, to remember is that there is also a gathering around God's throne of those we have loved. I asked Adrian to read that passage because of the ending of that reading, which mentions Abel. We only get a few pages into the Bible story before we read of the first human conflict. Cain kills his brother Abel. And sadly, human brother has been killing human brother ever since. But those early chapters in the Bible are not just meant to be read as stories about the past. They're meant to teach us, those early chapters in particular, are meant to teach us about who we all are. The names of the Bible's first characters often reveal this to us. Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's sons. But Adam's name means human. Eve's name means life. Abel means breath. And Cain means to take. So these are not just stories about a few ancient individuals. They are telling us about humanity, Adam, about life, Eve. They're telling us about the fragility of human breath, Abel, and about the danger of human rivalry and greed, Cain. Cain was warned in the story, warned by God of the danger of his anger towards his brother. But Cain let his anger get the better of him, and he took away his brother's breath in an act of violence. Cain took, as his name suggested, he killed his brother. Now, Abel had only done what was right. In that sense, I think the story of Cain and Abel is the first one to introduce us to the tragedy of the death of the innocent. On Remembrance Sunday, perhaps that story also reminds us of those who throughout history, like Abel, there are those who have died for the sake of doing what is right. Now, we know that not all conflicts and wars are straightforward or simple, but some are more clear, aren't they? You know, today we remember, don't we, the countless Abels, shall we say, who have given their lives for the sake of what we believed to be a righteous cause. And we remember those people today. And the Bible story in Genesis is really instructive in that sense, because this is all in Genesis chapter 4, the beginning of the Bible. When God next speaks to Cain in the Cain and Abel story, he says that Abel's blood cries out from the ground. Abel is dead, but God says his life blood even, still speaks. That can mean many things to us. No life is insignificant. No death can be ignored by us and by God. No innocent victim should ever be overlooked and not heard. And no life that is given for the cause of what is right should ever be forgotten. And that's why we have this Sunday each year. All of them, their blood cries out to God from the ground. And today, I hope we stop and listen ourselves so that the blood of the fallen still speaks to us. They speak to us, those who have been lost. They speak to us of the tragedy of war and pain. They speak to us of the sacrifice that they made for our sakes. They speak to us to urge us, I think, to always strive for peace. And they speak to warn us to beware of those human desires in us all that can lead towards violence. So I think, as with all the Bible's ancient stories, they speak timeless truths that we do well to keep listening to today. But that other passage that we read just now, which comes much, much later on in the Bible and in history, it goes together with the Cain and Abel story at the beginning of the Bible. We might sort of, although it's written much, much later, the passage in Hebrews, we might say that Abel's blood was still crying out for an answer to violence and conflict. And later on, an answer came, as Hebrews 12 told us. An answer came in the form of another man, Jesus, and his name means God saves. And in that later passage in Hebrews 12, we're told that the blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Jesus also became an innocent, righteous sufferer, another Abel who gave his life for the sake of righteousness. Now, it's all heightened, of course, with Jesus, because Jesus is not only the son of a woman, but also the son of God. This new Abel, Jesus, is God entering into our human story himself, including its horror and its violence, but also entering into its courage and its sacrificial love of the human story. In the story of Jesus, God himself puts himself beneath the blade, in front of the bullet, we might say, onto the cross. And he was there to be crucified and to die for us, so that we can be spared from our own violence and sin. Jesus's blood met the ground, and now it cries out to us all, asking, why do we keep destroying one another? God in the story of the cross is not the one shedding blood. God is the one giving his life for the sake of the world, to wake us up, I think, to God's peace. So we're told the blood of Jesus speaks something new, something better than before. Abel's blood, when he was murdered at the beginning of the Bible story, spoke of lots of things, spoke of the ominous fact of human conflict. His blood spoke of violence, division, rivalry between brothers. But Jesus's blood speaks of God's forgiveness, of God's peace, of God's reconciliation, and of our brotherhood and the new life that Jesus brings us. In a sense, we might say that Jesus died to stop our rivalries, which are shown, I think, to be a farce, really, in the face of God's love for us all. All of us, brothers and sisters, children of God. Abel's blood spoke of the scars of our violence. Jesus's blood speaks of God's forgiveness and healing of those scars. Jesus carries our sin so that we can live new lives instead of being defined by those past mistakes or those past scars. I think, as Mark mentioned earlier, as we began, those things can often define us. And perhaps it's important to remember not to let those past scars and mistakes define our future, but to stop and remember today so that we can go on in newness. Jesus took our hostility on the cross to show us his response is a pathway of peace. We're even told, ultimately, Jesus died to defeat death itself, so that those who have died, who we remember today, and we ourselves, together with them, can know the hope of resurrection, for Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus, as his name suggested, died to save the world. And though there will no doubt be more blood spilt, and there will still sadly be those like Abel who die for the cause of what is right and what is good, our hope and our prayer and our goal is to work for a world of reconciliation, and forgiveness, and peace, and brotherly love, where war will no longer be needed, as we heard in this morning, in the earlier reading at St. Martin's, where weapons will be turned into harvest tools, because Jesus will lead all mankind into peace. Why else, if not for that hope, why else do we strive for it? Why else do we speak up against evil when we see it? Why else do we defend what is good? Why, if not for the belief that good will triumph in the end? And I believe we believe that hope because of Jesus, who leads us on. We might wonder, is that wishful thinking, a future of peace? It can be hard to believe it at times, can't it? But I do believe God calls us always towards that future hope. Otherwise, if we don't strive towards that peace, the world would be left in the hands of hatred and greed and division and violence and tyranny and folly. If the voices, I heard someone say recently, if the voices of love fall silent, the voices of hatred will just grow louder. So on this Remembrance Sunday, as we remember those who gave their lives for us and those today who are putting their lives on the line right now for our peace and freedom, let's choose to follow Christ in faith, hope, and love towards his future of peace. Let's do that not only for our own sake, but for the sake of our children and our children's children. And may God bless all who have fallen, all who have given their lives for the sake of our future, all who have put their lives on the line for us today, may God give them peace, and us too. And as we fell silent today, and do so each year, may the voices of all the Abels of all the years continue to be heard speaking to us from the ground. And above all of them, may the voice of the risen Christ speak his word of hope to us all.